Good evening to you. I'd like for you to turn tonight to Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25, the two chapters right together. I'd like to say that my time is drawing close to be going away for this time, this Sunday and Sunday night and Tuesday and Thursday. I'm going to leave you on Friday morning. Certainly want you to keep us in your prayers, and that God will be pleased to keep us well in a measure to preach His Word wherever He leads us. Before we read, shall we pray again? Father, we seek Thee tonight, and we come through the precious name and the precious blood of our Savior to that throne of grace. And we need spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding and spiritual power. And we must have the ability that You give, Lord, in order to minister Thy Word. So give us understanding, and may we realize that we must depend upon the Holy Spirit, because He is sovereign and all power and equal with Thee. And He moved men to write this book. And He's the author, and if we know the author, we can understand the book better. So, Father, teach us, we pray together, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to just kind of bring it up to date as to what the events are. We're speaking on the judgments. We spoke last Tuesday night on the judgment seat of Christ. Tonight we want to speak on the judgment of the nations, and Sunday night we'll speak on the great white throne judgment. I think I pointed out from the scriptures that there are seven distinct judgments in the Bible revealed. There's no such thing taught in the scriptures as one general judgment where everybody be raised at the same time and everybody stand before God to be judged. Now, however, all the saints is going to be with the Lord Jesus at this great white throne judgment, but not to be judged. We're going to be with Him because the Scripture says we'll be wherever He is. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It also says in 1 Corinthians 6 that we will judge, help Him judge the world. Also, we'll help Him judge fallen angels. So we'll be with the Lord, sitting with Him, but the unsaved dead would be standing before Him. With and before is two different things altogether. So I'm, in other words, I'm with you tonight, and another way, I'm standing before you. So you're with me, but you're not standing before me, you're sitting. So when we see these things from the Scriptures, now, the first judgment is the judgment of sin. This is central above all the others. This is the theme of the Bible, God's salvation through Jesus Christ at the cross and His resurrection. I'd like to say something that I hear often in the States. I haven't heard too much of it here. I hope it's not true. A lot of people seem to glorify the cross. Dear friends, it's not the cross that saves. It's the Christ on the cross. You can put a cross around your neck, put a crucifix or a cross on the steeple of the chapel, but it won't save. You can bow to all the crosses you want, but it won't save. You've got to bow to the Christ of the cross, the one that died on the cross. Now, you can't separate Him from His cross because it was this, He died the death of crucifixion, which means the way they were killing criminals in that day. So, Christ is the Savior, not the cross. They seem to put a little glory to the cross, and then they don't mention the Christ of the cross. It kind of bothers me a little bit when I hear somebody do that, because it's the Christ that saves, who died on a cross, a wooden rugged cross. That old rugged cross can't save you. It's the man hanging on there that did it. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad of that. And then we have the judgment of the believer's walk. That takes place in the present. You either judge yourself or God will do it. And He'll do it by chastening. And it gets very severe sometimes. And then the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of the nations, the judgment of fallen angels after the millennium, the judgment Satan will be judged with them, the judgment of Israel back here, and also the judgment of the great white throne. Now, what are the events leading up to where we want to talk tonight? The next event is the coming of Christ in the air. Now, I'd like to say this, we will not be looking for an event, but we're looking for the one that's going to make one. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus to come, and it will be an event when He comes. That's the one we want to look for, is the coming of Christ for the church. Now, if you notice, I got no time limit for the church to be finished, which means also no time limit set when Christ will come. The Scripture says no man knows the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But He didn't say we wouldn't know the season, did He? Now, in the States, I was just talking to my wife yesterday, and she said the leaves are so pretty. Colors, I got one great big old poplar tree about so big around I can't reach around it. And the leaves is yellow and red. And getting ready to fall, I'm going to have a raking time a little later on. Somebody is. When the springtime comes, the trees begin to bud. And we know that summer is nigh. And when you see all the things that the Word of God said would happen coming to pass. In other words, look up. These signs are a proof of His nearby coming. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. So we're living in the season of His coming. So if He comes tonight for the church, immediately this period will run its course. And I want you to note something before we get into the Scripture, because I'd like to say this, because this leads up to the point what's going to happen as far as the different events that takes place. The Lord comes back to the earth. The first thing He does, He gathers all the nations before He comes. He gathers all the nations against Palestine. And then He wipes them out. In other words, He fights for Israel. As we were talking today, all the land from the river of Egypt to the river of Euphrates, that great river, all that land, and you can get your Bible out and look it up, every inch of that land is going to Israel. They're going to get every foot of it. Those Arabs or Arabs or what do you want to call them are going to have to scat. God's going to deal with them, and He's going to put His people in their land. Don't you think for one moment that God is through with Israel. He has a remnant of people that He's going to reign over right here. All right? He does away with that harlot church, Babylon, in the book of Revelation, which we know today is the professing church called Christendom. That's, in other words, He destroys the religious world, that religious church, and He destroys the political system. He also destroys the kingdoms of this world, and He gets ready to set up His own kingdom. That all has to be done before He can set up His kingdom. He then takes the man of sin, oftentimes called the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and casts them alive into the lake of fire, as found in Revelation 19:20. Then He takes the devil and casts him to the bottomless pit right here for 1,000 years, and you have that in Revelation 21-3. Now He's got the three fellers that's caused all the trouble in the world. Satan has been the cause of all trouble. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the prince of demons. He's called Beelzebub. He's called serpent. He's called that old Satan, old devil, serpent, Satan. And he's called the dragon. And he's cast to the middle of the tribulation to the earth. And at the end of the tribulation, when Christ takes and has him cast to the bottomless pits, and locks him up for 1,000 years. The man of sin, the false prophet, that Satan used, and the devil is taken care of. And then the Lord sets up His kingdom. But what He does after the tribulation is ended, the battle of Armageddon is ended, and if God hadn't shortened the days, according to Matthew 24:21-22, if He hadn't shortened the days, there would have been nobody alive on the earth. That's what kind of a slaughter it's going to be. I want you to think of that. A war, a battle that's never been of all the history of mankind or ever shall be will take place right here at the end of the tribulation. And there's going to be such a slaughter of mankind that God had to shorten those days of the tribulation period, which is 7 years long. He hadn't been nobody alive in their bodies. You can read that in Matthew 24, 21, and 22. All right. Then he sets up his kingdom and he sets on his throne and he gathers all the nations that were left out of the tribulation. You say, how in the world could there be anybody left? Well, the scripture says they are, and that settles it for me. There will be some out of every nation left on the earth. And Israel, his, my brethren, he called it, the elect, they are preserved from the Antichrist, the remnant, and they'll be preserved, and they'll be there. So he sets on his own. Now that's where I want us to read now, from Matthew 24, and we'll start reading with verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now note the wording of these verses. Immediately, after the tribulation, the end of it, it says, in those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. What tribes? Those that are left after the great battle of Armageddon and the end of the tribulation. All of them will mourn, and not only that will they mourn, but they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How are all the nations and people going to see him coming? Someone, man told me sometimes, said we'll see him on TV. Well, how in the world is the man that's got his camera going to get out and say, well, we just heard the Lord's coming, we're going to get out there and so we take your pictures when he comes. That's ridiculous, isn't it? God doesn't need man's little puny TV to show his son off to the whole world. You go back up to verse 27 and it tells you what. As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. His Shekinah glory is going to be so bright, it'll be brighter than the sun. It'll light up the earth. And every eye shall see him. My, what a day that's going to be. We don't serve a puny God. We serve a mighty God. The almighty God. And Jesus Christ is that God as well. He's God with co-equal with the Father. And it says, we'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now go over to the 25th chapter to verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Right here. Revelation 3:21 says that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father's throne tonight. But here he's going to be sitting on his throne. The throne of his glory. The judgment of the nations, and this judgment is not called the judgment of the great white throne. The great white throne judgment is never called the throne of his glory. It's called the throne of his judgment. The throne of his wrath. And dishing out punishment, everlasting punishment to the unsaved. But here, it's the throne of his glory. It's what it says in this verse. He shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. We just quoted to you a while ago from 14th chapter. I'm not going to give you the reference, but 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah, when he gathers all the nations against Palestine in that battle of Armageddon. Then he fights the war for them. He fights for them like he did in the days of the Old Testament. But that gathering is ended when the battle is ended. This is another gathering of the nations, and it's for the purpose of judgment. To judge them. It's the judgment of the living nations. All nations. What nations? Those that were left. After all of this is over. That's what it says. Listen to what it says. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Let me say this. To understand these two chapters of Matthew 24 and 25, you must see that it belongs to prophecy and it belongs to Israel. It's Jewish. It doesn't belong to the church at all. Don't apply it to the church. Don't interpret to the church. To do, you mess it up. This belongs to the Jews, belongs to Israel. It belongs to the time when he'll come to the earth and carry out his plan and purpose that he had planned. So he says, in verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now there's three classes of people in this chapter. Sheep nations, goat nations, and my brethren, Israel, the remnant of the elect. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now here's what this judgment is for. We see that this judgment's going to be when he comes to the earth. And it's going to be on the earth. And the purpose of it is to judge the nations as they, how they treated Israel during not only the tribulation period, but the whole history of the Jewish people. Dear saints, we must not curse the Jew. If you do, you're going to be in trouble. You're dealing with God's property. I know they got all the gold. Maybe they have. Maybe God meant it that way. That's the only thing they can care about in Palestine mostly. They can't care their houses and the furniture and everything, but they can care gold, money. Don't curse them. God said it's a curse upon them that does. Look over at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, that's the goat nations, the unsaved people, depart from me, ye cursed. They've been cursed. Why? Oh, the way they treated Israel. The way they treated the Jews. They're cursed. And he says, depart from me, ye cursed. Cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to point out something else. Look back at verse 31. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, which is the sheep nations, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That kingdom was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. But verse 41 doesn't say that hell, the lake of fire, was prepared from the foundation of the world. Did you know God never prepared hell for man? And if you go to hell, you go into a place that God didn't prepare for you because you reject the Son, you can't, and God has no other alternative to send you to hell after you decide to go. And you decide to go by rejecting Christ as your Savior. That's what this book teaches. Now, if you'll notice now, we're going to be reading the verses of how the saved nations treated Israel. For I was hungry, or hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was in a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer them. The very fact that this verse tells us that these people are saved, the sheep nation, because he calls them the righteous. Then says the righteous, answered him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick in prison and came unto thee. Then the king shall say, answer, unto, say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren. Who are the these my brethren? You see, the very fact, these my brethren, the word these means that those brethren are there at this judgment. Israel, the Jew, these my brethren. If you've done it unto them, you've done it unto me. Now, I've heard this interpreted to the church. You can make an application to one another. If you've done it unto me, you've done it unto the Lord. If you serve your brother and sister in the Lord, certainly, an application here. But the interpretation belongs to Israel, not to the church. That's why there's so much mixed up teaching today concerning and not rightly dividing the word of truth, giving what belongs to the church and giving what belongs to the kingdom. Not every promise in the book is ours. Promises belong to Israel. Don't belong to us. And I certainly don't want the promise that belongs to the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet, do you? But we got all the promises in the Bible concerning the church as ours, and we can claim them all. Some of them are conditional and some of them are unconditional. Now look at the next verse. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, that's the goat nations, and these are the unsaved. You see, God never called his people goats. These are symbolic words or symbols. He called his people sheep, lambs, and wheat, but never goats. Never does he call his people dogs or hogs. He never calls them tares. He calls them sheep and lambs. See, these words themselves gives you a key to the interpretation of what it means. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, because that's what it says on the left hand, is the goats in verse 33. Depart from me, ye cursed. Can you imagine the Lord telling somebody to depart from me? Today it's come. Two words. Either come, or he'll say in that day, depart. There'll be no mercy, no grace, no salvation after you die. Then he says, for I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was stranger and you took me not in. I was naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer on him saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger or thirst or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these ones, these is again my brethren, you did it not to me. Now note what he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, who? The goats. But the righteous, the sheep, into life eternal. Now that whole passage is talking about why the Lord is judging them, how they treated his earthly people, Israel. And every nation that's against Israel will not prosper. And mark it. You're dealing, as I said a while ago, and I'll say it again for emphasis, you're dealing with God's prophet. You better keep hands off. A careful study and a careful confessing of this judgment and this judgment will show a great difference. Just let it. I've written them down so I won't forget them. This judgment is called the throne of his glory, as already pointed out. But this judgment is called the throne of his wrath and judgment. Quite a difference, isn't it? And also the judgment of the nations is called the living nations, the great white throne, as I said At this great white throne judgment, only the unsaved dead is raised to stand before him to be judged. There's nobody raised from the dead here. There's no books open here. It's all living nations. Here it's all the unsaved dead. The books are open. And the book of life is open. The reason the books is open is because all the records of the unsaved are written down. Unsaved friend, if you're here tonight and you die without Christ, you're going to meet every sin you committed. You're going to meet the very things you did. Those things you did in darkness. Those things you did in secret you thought was hid. And God sees as good in the dark as he can in the light. There's nothing that's not open to him with whom we have to do. All things are naked before him with whom we have to do. He's watching us all the time and listening to what we say and recording. As the old black preacher said one time, he said, you know, unsaved friends, he said, God is writing all the time. He's a listening and he's a writing down your record. And all of it's going to be in the books as you stand before him here. But here we have no books open, no resurrection, because it's the living nations. They're fixing to go into the kingdom. At the judgment of the nations, the judge is the Lord Jesus, and we've already pointed out, sitting on his throne of glory. The judge at the great white throne will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Every unsaved person will come up before, I'll deal more with this on Sunday night, and stand there before the Lord. But you say, Mr. Smith, what about us Christians going to be there with the Lord and we see some of our loved ones come up before the throne? Will there be any remorse? Will there be any sympathy? No. You know why? Because the former things has passed away. We're not in the natural bodies. We're not in the natural state. We won't have the feeling that we have now towards family members, wife and children. And we'll stand there and see them come before us. Now, I don't know about their side when they see us. It's going to be a terrible day. The great judgment day is coming. It's going to be the final thing before we go into the new heavens and new earth. And so the judgment of the nations doesn't have any books and no resurrection. The judgment of the nations, there are two classes of people to be judged. The sheep nations and the goat nations. Sheep are saved, the goats are unsaved. At the great white throne, only the unsaved wicked will be judged. And that means everyone that died without Christ from that wicked Cain to the last one that will be there. Hitler will be there. Mussolini will be there. All the herds of the Old Testament will be there. And the Pharaohs. It's going to be a terrible day, isn't it? You see, God is going to vindicate his son. He's going to rule in righteous judgment here. He's going to rule in justice. There's no justice today in the world. But then he's going to rule in judgment as well. He'll judge sin on the spot. Here, nothing but justice meted out. Nothing but punishment to the unsaved forever. Why? Why is that? Because God gave his son for the whole world. And he paid the ransom price for every man. Every man has been bought. It's whether you're going to accept the price that was paid by accepting Christ as your Savior. And if you reject Him, you'll be punished forever in the lake of fire. All right? Let's move on. The sheep are the saved nations that were left after the end of the tribulation, as we brought it out in the Battle of Armageddon. My brethren, is the remnant of Israel that are saved, and they and the sheep who are saved Gentiles, these all go into the kingdom. I believe it was somebody asked me the other night or the day, I believe it was Brother Malden, that his wife asked me, what about the people that goes in here? Will they be like us now? Yes. Those saved Gentiles and the remnant of Israel will be in their bodies like ours now, natural bodies. And they'll go into this millennial age under Christ's ruling. You see, we're going to be with Christ ruling over the earth. We're going to be in glorified bodies. That is, Old Testament saints, church saints, and the tribulation saints will all reign with Christ over the earth. But Israel and the Gentile nations that were saved will be in this, and they'll be the subjects of the kingdom under the king's ruling. And they'll go into this millennial age for 1,000 years, and there will be a population of people born, something like you've never seen in your life before. It'll be to the extent that when Satan is loosed out of his prison after the 1,000 years are expired, and he comes out and deceives as many as the sand of the seas that were born to these people that went into the millennium from the tribulation. Think of that. As many as the sand of the seashore. Why weren't they didn't get saved? The righteous ruling of Christ with peace on the earth, that still didn't bring them to know Christ. Man has to be born again in any circumstance, under any condition, and in any age. He has to be born again to go to heaven. And so Satan deceives them as a proof that they weren't saved during this whole 1,000 years. When there was justice, peace, Satan bound, Daniel Christ and the false prophet in the lake fire, the Lord dealing with sin when it pops his head up, dealing with sickness and healing it when it pops itself up. One of the signs of the last days, when Jesus came the first time, there were a lot of sickness, a lot of people sick. The same thing's going to happen when he comes the second time. And you see it today. I've never seen so much sickness. The young and the old, the middle-aged, the babies, the little ones. A lot of people taking drugs and having deformed children. What a terrible thing for the poor child. It's a victim of circumstances. Don't ever criticize a child that's a victim of circumstances. Pray for it. Treat it good. What a terrible thing to see that happen. And when they're, in other words, Satan deceives them and they go up to make their last revolt against God, and that's when God destroys them and he casts Satan to the lake of fire, his final downward cast. I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus is going to come back. A great multitude, I believe, will be saved in the millennium. There's going to be a great multitude saved in this little short period of time, about 7 years. That John said in Revelation chapter 7 and verses 9 through 17, he said he saw a multitude that no man could number. And later on in the chapter says, these are they that came out of the great tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years. You see, God is going to have his man on and his people on the earth testifying even after the rapture. Now, while all this is going on, you and I are going to be with the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've got to put me a supper table up here. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Then after the 7 years is finished, we come back with Christ, come with his saints, all of them, all of his saints. Zechariah 14, 4-11 tells us that. He comes with all of his saints. And we read a while ago from Matthew, he comes with all of his holy angels. This is his coming to the earth. Right here, he comes and the world won't know what's happened till it's over. They won't hear a thing, see anything. But they'll know we're gone. There'll be no babies left. There'll be no children of the age of accountability. And I don't know what age you could set to be the accountability age. It would vary according to the child's knowledge and mental capacity. But there'll be no babies in hell. Babies will be gone. The hospital and nurses and doctors will be running screaming because all the newborn babies are snatched away from their little beds in the nursery. Amen. The God of all the earth is going to do right. The babies are covered by the death of Christ and His precious blood. All those children that are born mentally retarded is covered by the blood of Christ. I've heard people make fun of a retarded child. I wanted to, in the old flesh of myself, I wanted to bat him in the eye. But that wouldn't have done any good. Just have to pray for it. That retarded child that doesn't have the capacity of mind to know what right and wrong is to accept Christ as his Savior is covered by the blood. There was a sacrifice in the Old Testament that says, a sacrifice for those out of the way, and that statement means those that are mental retarded. You know something, unsaved friend? If you're here tonight, I'd like to say this. There's three things that could happen to you tonight and you'd never be saved. First of all, you could die. It'd be too late. Second, Christ could come. And I think we have to qualify these people that can't be saved in the tribulation. There's a great multitude that can't be saved, and there's a great multitude that will be saved in the tribulation. The multitude that can't be saved are those who in this day of grace have known the truth, have willfully and deliberately rejected it, knowing it is the truth, and they will not be saved after the church is gone, because they're going to believe the lie of Satan, the lie. They're going to believe a delusion. You know what a delusion is? I think I illustrated to somebody today. A delusion is like a mirage. It's been told of those who crossed in the desert, thought they saw trees and water. It was only a delusion. Only a mirage. How deceiving. And God is going to cause those people. There's two qualifications of the people that can't be saved that we must qualify, and don't say that nobody can't be saved, because there are going to be a great multitude saved. The two qualifications first, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 will tell you, because they believe not the truth that they might be saved. What is the truth? The love of the truth is that God loved them and His Son died for them and they believed it not. That's number one qualification. The second qualification is they had pleasure in unrighteousness and sin. They loved their sins. They went on rejecting Christ. You hear people today say, well, I'll take my chance on being saved after the rapture. You won't know such thing. You won't be saved. You will take the man of sin's mark and you'll be condemned and it'll be the unpardonable sin in that day. I trust there's anyone here tonight not saved. I pray that you'll run to Christ before it's too late. Now Sunday night we'll take up the great white throne judgment, preaching the gospel from this great truth. We're going to be there with him. But we're not going to be there to be judged. You know why? He was judged for me here. Think of it, dear child of God. All of my sins are put away by His blood forever. And He will never recall them against me or against you. We need to revel in this truth. We need to do what the man had on his bumper sticker, a sticker on his bumper says, not perfect, but forgiven. Amen. But one day we're going to be perfect and forgiven. But I'm forgiven tonight, but not perfect. And so are you if you're saved. What a day it's going to be. Well, I better shut up before I start to get preaching here. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, we thank you for the promises. Thank you for the prophecies that we know every one of them will be fulfilled in detail. All in the past has been fulfilled in detail. All that's yet to come to pass will be fulfilled because it's your plan and your purpose. Bless thy dear saints, and Father, save any that's in this meeting not saved, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.